John DeLancey is also a graduate of the Curtis Institute. He was oboe soloist in the Pittsburgh Symphony under Fritz Reiner before returning east and joining the Philadelphia Orchestra in 1946, becoming principal oboe in 1954. In 1977, he became the director of the Curtis Institute of Music, where he served until 1985. Mr. John DeLancey.
I was not as fortunate as Saul and Mason is to start playing with the orchestra on a full-time basis before the war, when he was still the boss, so to speak. Although I did play extra man a couple of times, and it wasn't difficult for any of us to just be transported by what this man did. He was our hero. In those days, when he was in town, I think he did about at least 50% of the concerts when Stokowski was conducting. I'm talking about from 1936 on. If you wanted to get into the balcony for a Stokowski concert, you had to be in line by noon. Otherwise, you weren't going to make it. And I remember we had lessons on Saturday that finished at noon, and we all ran down to get in line. And subsequently, I went to Pittsburgh and had some wonderful experiences with Fritz Reiner. And then I didn't travel on the All-American Youth Orchestra, but I did travel with the U.S. Army for 3 years in Europe. And I could tell you a few experiences about that, but this is not the moment for that sort of thing. I joined the orchestra in 46 permanently. And I think the one thing that came to me in my experience playing with the Philadelphia Orchestra and encountering, at that time, we were very fortunate and we had many of the great conductors in the world that came to visit us. I think that the thing that came to me was that so many of them, I mean, I can think of Scherchen and Klemperer and Bruno Walter and people like that, they all made it very clear, obviously without spelling it out, but they all made it very clear to us that when they went home at night or when they were studying their scores over the weekend, they all had, and this is years before satellite communications, they all had a special switchboard where they discussed these things with Beethoven and Wagner and Mozart and Haydn and so on and so forth. So they were bringing the word. And it was only up to us to see and hear the word. But as time went on, and then Stokowski came back, the thing that I just think of him as possessing beyond all of them is that he wasn't plugged in to any of these people. He was plugged in to Stokowski. And when he was looking for ideas, when he was looking for things to bring to his comprehension and interpretation of the music, he just turned to Stokowski, and that dominated the scene in the rehearsals, and it dominated the scene in the concert. And I think that, as I said, that is probably the thing that stays with me as being the most one of the most important things. There are so many important things about him. I would like to add one small comment that I mentioned to my colleagues today, is that I've done a lot of traveling in my life, and in America, going around from city to city, particularly cities that are connected with the American League or the National League, you walk through the airports and you see plaques about men that hit 420 three seasons in a row, or somebody who hit the three-run homer on the last strike of the last inning to win the series and all that sort of stuff, and you see all of these things. But I'm in the city of Philadelphia that this man put on the map, as somebody mentioned, and I see nothing commemorating his existence. And it would be wonderful if those of you here would take on the mission of seeing to it that, at the very least, in the area that is supposedly going to be built, although I've been hearing this about this for 30 years, about the area, in the area that's going to be built as a performing arts center, that some very special statue or plaque or something that to commemorate what was really the beginning of great orchestral music in America, not to mention Philadelphia. Thank you.
Attaboy. John Delancey, former principal oboe of the Philadelphia Orchestra and director of the Curtis Institute of Music from 1977 to 1985.